We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Guilty as Charged podcast. We apologize for the delay. Got held up at work for a few minutes, but I'm here now. We're here now, ready to talk about the Chargers' upcoming matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And to do that, the man who hates Pittsburgh perhaps more than every other city in the country, so I can't wait to hear what he has to say about Pittsburgh today. Alex, how are you doing today, man?
Western Pennsylvania is a total shithole, and I hope we beat Pittsburgh this week because I am not doing a 1:30 a.m. cranky Mason Rudolph podcast. It'll be the worst Alex you've ever seen. But yeah, hope we win this game. Sunday Night Football, big game.
Yeah, absolutely a big one in this week. Big week in the AFC in general. Well, we'll probably talk about some of that, I would imagine. Tyler is here, Mr. Poopsburg, for those who are listening. Alex has Puck Fitzberg on his, for those who are listening to the audio version. Tyler, how are you doing today, man?
Yeah, in a surprising turn of events, both Alex and I decided to censor ourselves and leave out some bad words. That might change again, like Alex said, if the Chargers lose to the Steelers. But, you know, I never want to root for the Chargers to lose, but if it gives us the worst version of Alex we've ever seen, I don't know, like, you know, maybe a tie would be fun.
I mean, we've seen Alex eat a shoe on the show. We didn't get the
that's right.
We didn't get the shit on Lincoln Financial Field. So,
if it's a tie and I stay up till 2:30, I stay up till 2:30 for the game, and then I have to stay up till 3:30 or 4 for the show. You are getting like I will shit live on the show. You are getting like just punished, Alex. It's gonna be terrible.
Obviously, we got to hope that that does not happen. So we're going to dive into this game. Before we do, have to give a shout out to some of our sponsors who are doing some great things for the Chargers fans and, you know, for themselves as well, obviously. And that's the Backroom Collection and Quest Designs. We have the description and links to those two in our description. If you want some great Christmas presents for the Chargers fan in your life, please go check them out. They are Chargers fans, so go show them some love. That being said, let's dive right into this matchup. I think, you know, we'll have some big general takeaways or general storylines, of course, that we're going to cover. Tyler, I'll start with you, man. What is kind of the biggest storyline that you are focusing in on in this one?
As much as I've been discussing offense, and there's my dog, of course. Hello, Galadriel, my dog. I'm focused on the defense this week, and it's not any particular player or position. I just want to know when this defense is going to show up. There have been moments, I think, but when was the last time the Chargers had a really, really strong defensive performance? Now, some of it has been injury, sure, bad luck, whatever you want to call it, but I'm waiting for this defense to kind of show up. And honestly, does anyone in the comments or does anyone here feel confident going into this game that they're going to stop Mason Rudolph and Najee Harris? Like, I think they can. On paper, it makes sense. But, you know, Kirk Cousins was a top 10 passer last week. They couldn't stop the Eagles rushing attack the week before. Jalen Hurts was, like, okay, like, pretty solid. The defense right now is allowing the eighth most points per game in the league. They're 19th in takeaways. The offense, despite the fact that they're the seventh best at not giving the ball away, the team's only at a +2 turnover differential because the defense isn't taking the ball away. They're allowing 20 more yards per game on, or excuse me, rushing yards per game, the next worst team, which is the Texans. And they're actually right now behind the Texans in defensive DVOA. And anytime you're behind the Texans in anything defensive, that's not good. So, you know, I don't know who the Texans have played, but the Texans, we all thought, were basically going to lose every game this year. And the Chargers are worse than them right now in defensive DVOA. So is this defense going to show up? Because I've been talking about the offense and everyone's talking about, oh, fire Lombardi. Lombardi sucks. The offense sucks. Herbert needs to be better, whatever. But the offense is a top 10 offense in DVOA and EPA per play. And they've only improved since the bye. And no one's talking about the defense. So I'd like to shift that narrative and put some pressure, I guess. For, not that I put any pressure, but, you know, is this defense going to show up? Honestly, are they? I don't really feel confident that they are. I think they can, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like to begin the season, we had a really good front seven or so, or excuse me, we had a really good secondary to start the season. And then the front seven was eh. And then after the bye, it seems like we lost some of that secondary because Davis was hurt, Adderley was hurt, and then the front seven kind of showed up. So are they both going to show up? It seems like the injuries are finally coming together at the right time where they're not going to be all that banged up, barring some COVID issues. So I think they can put it together, but I'm not super confident. I need this defense to show up because we hired this coach for a reason.
Yeah, we did hire Brandon Staley for a reason. And obviously, you know, the team needed a culture change and he certainly brought that. But obviously you hire the best defensive coordinator in the NFL to you know, man a defense. And some of that is personnel for sure. Like this team has a lot of issues and personnel is definitely part of that. But, you know, it's really frustrating when you get, you know, the run defense is improving, right? Like they kind of solved that issue. You have your best pressure output of the season against the Vikings. And what happens? You have the worst secondary performance of the season. So there's a little bit of flip-flopping going on with this team. And so that's something that I'll talk about after Alex. But, you know, this defense is kind of banged up. The depth behind Derwin James and Nasir Adderley has not been very good, very consistent at least. And we'll talk about the injuries, but if there were ever a time for you to put everything together as a defense, it's this week against Mason Rudolph. And of course, Big Ben could still theoretically play. We'll dive into that one as well. But I mean, there's probably 30 quarterbacks in the league better than Mason Rudolph. So if you get sliced and diced and shredded by Mason Rudolph, then we're going to have some big question marks after this one. What do you think about that, Alex? And then what is your big storyline?
Yeah, I don't want to think about getting sliced and diced by Mason Rudolph. I'll leave that to develop if it happens, but don't want to think about it. My biggest storyline for this game is kind of the theme of the week, which is uncertainty on both sides. Obviously, the Chargers have their own COVID issues right now. Steelers have their own COVID issues with Ben Roethlisberger and Minkah Fitzpatrick. The litany of Steelers injuries right now, you know, some of the Chargers injuries right now. So I think on both sides of the ball, these teams are kind of not at their peak yet. Very far from it. I mean, the Steelers just come off tying the Lions with Mason Rudolph. We're coming off of a 1-3 in the last month. And you know, with some other issues to boot. So to me, this game is just about who's going to adjust better and who's going to adapt better, and who has the more solid pregame plan coming in with all of the uncertainties. So to me, that does heavily come down to coaching. And that is what kind of concerns me most about this game, because as much as we want to say, hey, it's Mason Rudolph and haha, Mike Tomlin came into the Chargers stadium, not SoFi, but the stadium they were in the soccer stadium. And he whipped us with Devlin Hodges. Like that is the reality of what Mike Tomlin can do and what a, you know, good Steelers coach defense could do as well. So for me, it's going to be about which coach adapts better and who's got the better game plan, more so than, you know, a lot of the key injuries and key COVID cases that are happening. Because I do believe in theory, like Tyler said, the Chargers should be able to stop Mason Rudolph. Like that should be a thing. And I think, you know, when you talk about the Steelers, like even though they're, you know, missing Minkah Fitzpatrick, well, they should be able to stop this Chargers offense given how they're playing. So it's going to be about who breaks their slump, who breaks their, you know, negative trends of the last month. And I think that's going to fall kind of directly on Brandon Staley and a little bit directly on Mike Tomlin as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And Brandon Staley was talking about Mike Tomlin and how he felt like, you know, everybody was asking him, you know, who did he compare himself to? Who did he kind of model his coaching game, if you will, after? And he said Mike Tomlin. You know, Mike Tomlin was a secondary coach, but he played receiver in college. So very similar pathway there. And then Mike Tomlin was only a coordinator for one season before the Steelers hired him. Obviously, he was very, very young when the Steelers hired him. So a lot of similarities there for sure. And I think, you know, we can only dream to have that kind of success that Mike Tomlin has had for Brandon Staley. So I think that's a good call. I think both of these coaches have shown the ability to make adjustments. And that's kind of my thing, right? Like, you know, we've talked a lot about the problems of the offense, but what we haven't really talked a lot, or, you know, what people on social media have not talked about, really is the adjustments that the offense has made. You know, red zone offense was a big issue early on in the season. It's not really that big of an issue anymore. Tyler pointed out earlier today that the team is top 10, or is it first in EPA on first down since the bye week? Correct me if I'm wrong. Second. There. They're second in EPA per play on first downs, which was a big issue. The problem now is that they can't convert on third down, which was the big strength of theirs early on in the season. So that's the kind of flip-flopping that I am talking about. So, you know, this is going to be a really interesting game because, again, you're waiting for this to put it all together, right? Like, you fix red zone offense, you fix first down. Now you have to fix third down. So to me, everybody's talking about the lack of explosive plays and the lack of deep shots. To me, the biggest frustration of the offense has been the inconsistency in sustaining drives. And now that they are figuring out how to, you know, call plays effectively or most effectively and convert on first downs and set and stay ahead of the chains, now they're not converting on third down. So say what you want about Joe Lombardi and this offensive staff. They have continually made adjustments. And I think they will in this one. And I think they'll be able to, you know, figure out how to sustain drives at the same kind of level that we saw against the Eagles, because outside of the Eagles, it's been very inconsistent in that regard. And to me, that's the biggest criticism of the offense, not the lack of deep shots.
Yeah, it's such a Jekyll and Hyde thing. I mean, we talk about, oh, the first down offense sucks. Oh, the first down offense sucks. Stop throwing the screen or stop running inside or whatever it was. Since the bye, they, like you said, they're second best on first down. I think they're top 10 on second down as well in EPA per play, which makes no sense that you'd be so bad on third down.
Yeah.
If you're good on first down, and you're good on second down, you should have a very good third and manageable, and they're awful at it. I think mostly also because of this last game, it's just bad execution. You're dropping balls. You're missing players. Herbert is a guy wide open. He sails it 10 yards over Eckler's head. Palmer drops a pass. Cook drops a pass. It's so frustrating to watch. So they're getting in there. Like, if you're good on first down, you're good on second down. It should be pretty easy to convert on third down with everything you have. Can they execute? They just haven't. It's really frustrating.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, like, I think that a lot of their third down issues right now are just drops and miscommunications, right? Like, guys not quite knowing where to get lined up before the snap. You have someone like Keenan Allen, who last year and really all of his career has been one of the best third down receivers in the league. And now he's like one of the biggest droppers on the team, unfortunately. So, you know, that's pretty abnormal considering what the Chargers have been, you know, when, you know, Keenan has been on this team for as long as he has been. So for him to have, you know, sort of some of the bulk of the, you know, biggest drop issues, that's concerning, you know, and that certainly lowers your potential third down ceiling for what this team can be, in addition to Mike Williams having a slump, in addition to Austin Eckler dropping balls, and like Tyler mentioned, with all those guys. So for me, it's just about communication. Like, and people ultimately like want to talk about Herbert throwing it too hard. It's like, no, it's just execution. Just execute. Yeah. Ball hits your hands, catch it. Like, it shouldn't be this hard. So for me, it's a lot of the communication and execution issues that we've seen over the last month, and having a chance to fix those in this game that they should win against this Steelers team. So for me, yeah, it all comes down to that.
Yeah, I think there are certain things that I want this offense to go back to what they did against the Eagles. And, you know, they used Donald Parham a little bit more vertically that game. You know, we saw the jump ball. He had a couple seam routes. And the other thing, I would like to see them use Andre Roberts just a little, like give me five snaps minimum. I'm not asking for a ton, you know, give him an end around, give him a couple of yak opportunities. Like he's proving to be very explosive after the catch. His kick return numbers are not great right now. Of course, he had the 14 yarder, which really dragged him down, but you know, he's showing some really good juice after catching these punts and these kicks. You know, I'd like to see him be involved a little bit in offense. I want to see Josh Palmer do more than just run stick routes and slants, like give him some yards after catchability. So to me, when the offense isn't creating explosive plays deep, which is a variety of issues, it's not just Joe Lombardi. But to me, you've got to be able to compensate in other areas. And I think giving more yards after catch opportunities to Parham, to Andre Roberts, to Josh Palmer, I think would help. I think Keenan Allen is a fantastic receiver. I think he's one of the best in the NFL, but he's never really been that guy. And they are force feeding him yards after catch opportunities like nobody's business. And I think that's an adjustment with the personnel that Joe Lombardi can make going forward that would help the team.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they've been giving Allen so many. And, you know, I think early on it was just because team, like especially against the Baltimore Ravens, teams were covering Allen really well. They said, hey, let's try a screen. Let's try, you know, a little bit of motion, get you the ball quickly. But since then, like, I feel like that's kind of calmed down. I feel like teams are giving Allen whatever, but they're still going to him. And even what was the Vikings game? Or no, it was the Eagles game where he took a screen, a wide receiver screen, and he had, you know, 10, 15 yards in front of him. If he just went that way. And he just kind of ran into two defenders. Like it's even like looks awkward at this point. So yeah, give it to Roberts or throw it to Palmer. Or I just want to see them go back to what they did against the Eagles. And again, that defense is bad and vanilla, but they got so many different players involved in different ways. That's a more valid criticism, in my opinion, than Joe Lombardi deep passes. That's the deep pass thing is a waste of time. Like everybody in the comments, I see all of you talking about Joe Lombardi and the deep passes. That's the wrong thing to be criticizing him about. Find something else.
Yeah. So, all right. Any other big storylines before we get into the rather lengthy injury report today?
No, because that's it, really.
We're going to need a lot of time for that one. So,
yeah. All right. So, obviously, you know, the biggest question mark this week is what happens with Joey Bosa. You know, we can talk about COVID if you guys want to. I was kind of roasted on Twitter for that, but it is what it is. So, Joey Bosa is a close contact because of Jerry Tillery's positive test. Christian Covington is also a close contact due to a positive test. My understanding is that Covington is most likely out in this one. Joey Bosa does have a chance to play because he got on the list early enough. So let's talk about the defensive tackles specifically first, because they did sign Braden Fehoko. They signed Caron Reed to the practice squad, which like totally slipped my mind. Did not even register with me that was who they decided to sign the practice squad. So, Tyler, what are you making of the defensive tackle room in this one? And I forgot to mention, Linval Joseph, questionable, or not questionable yet. He has not practiced because of a shoulder injury. So, what are you making of the defensive tackle room ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers matchup?
Well, thankfully, they have Cortez. They don't have him. They cut him in a horrible decision. So, okay, the Linval Joseph shoulder thing, I'm hoping that's a veteran rest thing. I believe he finished the game against the Vikings, so I don't know when he would have sustained the injury. So who knows what the hell's going on there. If you were a younger player, we wouldn't say veteran rest day, but he's, you know, whatever age he is. So yeah, I think veteran rest day. If Tillery's out, then, you know, they might improve run defense. So thankfully they have Justin Jones. So of the defensive tackles they could lose, it seems like they have kept the right one so far that's healthy or available. So that's good. Merrill will definitely be activated if Joseph can't go. Yeah. Fehoko has been losing weight. He looks really slender. There's a picture of him in a white shirt someone took like a week ago. He looks completely slimmed down. I know he's been losing weight, and I know they've been trying him at nose tackle and defensive tackle. So I think if Covington can't go, that's your new Covington. Merrill's your new Joseph. Jones is your normal guy. And then we'll see. I think the biggest, most important thing, and this will really, really help if Tillery is out, if Joey Bosa plays, I'm sure they'll play him a lot at some sort of a, you know, four down kind of guy, or, you know, not four down, four player front kind of guy. And, you know, let Fackrell and Mosa go, or, hey, you know, Murray's an edge now, let him go. Or Rumpf is non-existent as a pass rusher. And maybe if Joey Bosa slides inside, Rumpf will finally get more than one pass rush snap. So I think that's kind of what they'll do. I I don't know. It's so hard to gauge where things are going to be, especially with Linval Joseph's rest day. If I were to pick between Joseph, Covington, and Tillery, I'm over Linval Joseph. Like, he's been excellent. I hope he's around and okay, because it's not a very good game to lose him.
No, yeah, he's been... Go ahead, Alex. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, they absolutely need Linval Joseph if they're going to win this game. So Jerry Tillery, he has to get two negative tests because he actually has COVID. So we'll see if he plays. Like Tyler, I'm sort of the opinion that you might see slight improvements without Jerry Tillery. I think the main problem for the Chargers at this point, though, is bodies, because Christian Covington is likely going to be out since he was on Wednesday. Well, we actually don't know his vaccination status. That's another thing. Like Steven said, we tripped into doggy doo-doo with that on Twitter, because Steven was like, oh, Joey Bosa's vaccinated. I'm like, is he though? And I ended up being right. But yeah,
well, so also we're learning because of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, that we have
no fucking idea who is vaccinated or not right now. What a fucking mess that Antonio Brown has created. Oh my gosh.
The NFL has created this whole mess. They don't know what they're doing. They're just, you know, YOLOing it, which at this point, you know, that's the best you can hope for, I guess, from their accountability standpoint. But yeah, no, I think Joey Bosa will obviously be ready to go. He doesn't actually have COVID, so you know he should just be able to roll in there. I don't love the fact that he's just kind of getting a total week off practice, and you know he's not going to be kind of in the system and in the game plan that much, but obviously the coaches will keep him updated as to, you know, what he's supposed to be doing. So yeah, no, for me it's just a raw bodies issue. If you lose one of Joseph or Bosa for this game, that becomes very problematic. I think if you sub in a Fajoco for, you know, a Covington, or if you sub in somebody for Tillery, I don't think that's that bad. But yeah, no, it definitely is not looking up for the defensive line right now, just in terms of bodies. And it's like, you know, something Steven said, where it's like, well, they figure out one thing and then something comes back. So right when we figure out run defense, Tillery COVID happens. So that's not great. But yeah, I feel relatively confident still in the defensive line if it's Bosa and Joseph and they can play. If one of those guys is out, my confidence drops quite a bit.
Yeah, I obviously no one has asked Brandon Staley about Linval Joseph. I didn't listen to Ronaldo Hill's press conference yet. I don't know if anyone asked him. I doubt it. So we'll see. It kind of is of the pattern, right? You know, Joey Bosa doesn't practice all week, he plays. Mike Williams doesn't practice all week, he plays. So we'll see. I'm kind of like leaning yes, but I don't feel confident about his status. So, you know, if Christian Covington, Jerry Tillery, Linval Joseph are out, then you'll see Justin Jones play the three technique with probably Forrest Merrill called up from the practice squad to play the nose. And then you'll see Gaziano and Fajoco probably rotating with that other spot, with that other three technique. But, you know, it's... then who's the fifth defensive tackle? If Covington, Tillery, and Joseph are all out, then I literally haven't seen Caron Reed play any kind of snaps recently. I think he was a practice squad guy last year too. I think his name's Andrew Brown. Literally never heard of him until the Chargers signed him. So yeah, it's a bad spot to be in right now. Obviously, you know, Joseph was mentioned in the press conference, said he was all good. So I guess I missed that one. But, you know, him being there is huge this week. And it was huge before. Now with Tillery and Covington likely out, it's even that much bigger. Okay, so in terms of the other injuries, Justin Herbert was added today. Don't really think that's much of anything. Drew Tranquil is also still in the COVID protocols. That needs to be said as well. But Brandon Staley did say that he's trending positive, which was a rather short choice of words. The other issues or other injuries, excuse me, Nasir Adderley looks like he's back on track to play. Michael Davis looks like he's back on track to play. However, Alohi Gilman has not practiced this week. Trey Marshall has not practiced this week. And Mark Webb has not practiced this week. So, Alex, what are you making of the status of the secondary right now?
Not good. I mean, just in terms of the amount of bodies they have, like that's the whole thing with the defensive line. If Michael Davis and Asante Samuel Jr. can go, I feel much better about the secondary in general. But Michael Davis is also coming off of a hamstring injury, and like those are very easy injuries to re-aggravate. And we've seen it happen a bunch in football and basketball and pretty much all sports. So that would be where I think, you know, if you have Chris Harris or Tavon Campbell have to step in, it's not as bad as the Vikings because you're not against going, you know, Thielen and, you know, Jefferson eviscerating you every play. But I do think the injury to Davis and him coming back this week, that is a particular concern I have with a lot of the depth they don't have in the secondary right now. Overall, I don't think it's too bad. I'd love to see Alohi Gilman back just because of, you know, what he provides to this team and how well he had been playing. Nasir Adderley is projected to come back as well, I assume. Yeah, Nasir Adderley is not on the injury report, so he should be back. So they are getting a boost there because they, you know, sorely have missed him whenever he's been out this year. So I feel okay with the secondary. If you're telling me Michael Davis plays, if you're telling me Michael Davis doesn't play, I mean, that's really just been the direction of the secondary and trying to trust it the last 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, I think for the secondary, right, like it's a much easier matchup this week. I think Deontay Johnson is a good player. I think apparently Ray McCloud is a good player too. I don't know. The man had 13 targets last week, which is kind of crazy. Chase Claypool looks like he's tracking the play. So they're good players, right? But they're not Justin Jefferson. They're not Adam Thielen. And Big Ben throws basically 70% of his passes between the line of scrimmage and 9 yards. Mason Rudolph is about the same. So I think the secondary, we can look for a better week in terms of coverage. Of course, it's difficult to be worse than they were last week. But, you know, I think it's more about rallying to the ball and tackling for the secondary this week because the Steelers run so many short routes in their passing game.
Yeah, exactly. So if Michael Davis is not feeling that great, just have him line like 15 yards off the receiver and just read and react, go downhill, make the tackle. It ain't going over his head. So, you know, but no, I'm happy to have Davis back. You know, everyone was like, oh, you know, we can bench Davis and Samuel Jr. It's fine. We have Campbell. Like, and that's true. Like, Campbell's good, but everyone kind of overreacting like, yeah, we just put Campbell on the field. He deserves it. Take Davis on the field. He can't tackle. Well, what Davis can do is he can cover. And he actually does turn his head around these days. And I honestly think 3 plays in there, Davis is in there, they probably win the game last week. So having him back is going to be excellent. All of them, really.
Yeah, I just want to say, regarding Michael Davis's overrated talk, go watch the Buffalo game last year of Michael Davis covering Stephon Diggs, and then go watch the Tavon Campbell covering Justin Jefferson, and then never say that he's overrated, like, ever again. Come on.
Yeah, I've just got to say really quickly, people are comparing the Chargers' struggles to Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Did we not just see Josh Allen put up 0 touchdowns and 6 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think you guys are really overestimating the offensive struggles right now. It's kind of ridiculous.
Hey, Urban's an elite head coach. He beat Josh Allen himself.
Yeah, Josh Allen beat Josh Allen. You know, it is what it is. Anyways. The other injury that, of course, we have to talk about, unfortunately, Justin Jackson, still not healthy, still a week away, always a week away, apparently. So this is going to be, you know, another tough week for the backup running backs. You know, it's not getting any easier against the Pittsburgh Steelers with Cam Hayward and company. So it's really annoying. I cannot express my frustration enough about the running back situation. Justin Jackson is a good player, but I'm sick of all these little minor injuries that are supposed to be 1 week and they turn into 4. So anyways.
Well, thank goodness we have other running backs to watch. We don't even get like the Justin Jackson Sunday Night Football Steelers game again. We're going to get like Larry Roundtree and Joshua Kelly. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. Anyways, so... yeah, that's the status. All right, let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers injuries because obviously they have very important injuries. I mentioned Chase Claypool. Looks like he's tracking a play. He's been limited in practice. TJ Watt obviously has not practiced yet. So we haven't really gotten a firm update from Mike Tomlin or any of the Steelers yet. Apparently on Wednesday, he's been using the phrase "leave the light on" all week for his players. He's not ruling out TJ Watt just yet. But if he's not able to go, the Pittsburgh Steelers have Derek Tuska from North Dakota State, I believe, and then Taco Charlton, who just was on the practice squad. So, and then obviously Alex Highsmith is their other edge rusher. So TJ Watt not playing in this one would obviously be huge for the Chargers in the offensive line.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought Alex was about to click the button. Yeah, no, that'd be great. If TJ Watt doesn't want to play or he's hurt, like, that's completely fine. I think Storm Norton's on a really, really good streak right now. That would have come to an absolute crashing disaster TJ Watt had played, because TJ Watt just abuses, you know, bad tackles, and he's very consistent at it too.
Yeah.
But if he's not playing, that's huge for this team. It, you know, I don't know much. I mean, Cam Hayward's amazing. I don't really know much about their edge rushers outside of Ingram, who's now gone. So, you know, if they feel comfortable and these edge players aren't that great, you know, one of the things they did against the Eagles, who actually have some decent front four, you know, they spread the ball out and look really good. So I think and they kind of let their tackles have an island, and Storm Norton had to hold up, and he did. So if they feel sort of that kind of confidence, especially with Fitzpatrick out, it may see them open things up a little bit more. Maybe Herbert will look a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I don't even think this is a low-key thing to say. Like, I think TJ Watt's status is much more important than Ben Roethlisberger's. Like, I think Ben Roethlisberger 100%, and Mason Rudolph 100%. Are kind of the same thing at this point. Like, I mean, Steven brought up, you know, the way that they throw, like, you know, Big Ben hospital balling, you know, all day long, you know, whenever he plays on the field. Mason Rudolph, a little bit of the same. So to me, you know, that one to me does not make the distinction of who wins the game. But having TJ Watt off the field and having Storm Norton not even have to, you know, recognize him, like, obviously Alex Highsmith is a very good player. Taco Charlton exists. But, I can trust at least Alex Highsmith against Storm Norton. I cannot trust Storm Norton against TJ Watt. That's really the issue. So, but yeah, for me, the biggest one on some level is Minkah Fitzpatrick and whether he's back from COVID, if he's going to be out this game. I think that's a really big loss for them in terms of how he has been playing really since he's gotten traded there. So they would definitely be losing bodies in the secondary, in addition to the fact that their secondary is not like great anyway. So I would say that losing Minkah would be a pretty big loss there, in addition to potentially losing TJ Watt for this game.
Yeah, not having Minkah Fitzpatrick in this one is going to be huge. So my understanding of that situation is that he is positive for COVID as well. So he would have to test negative twice. So I would imagine that we figure out if he's playing or not on Friday. I just noticed that Tyler, there he is. Okay. So that one's definitely up in the air. I mean, not having Fitzpatrick and not having TJ Watt, I mean, they're the two best players on the Steelers, in my opinion, you know, at any position. So, you know, I'm going to be interested to see what they do with Alex Highsmith if they do not have TJ Watt, because they're very much like how the Chargers used to be, in the sense of like, TJ, you're lining up on the left side, Alex Highsmith, you're lining up on the right side. So Highsmith is going to, if he's only rushing against Rashawn Slater, he's getting clamped, you know, that much I know. So, I'm curious to see if that changes without TJ Watt, but I can't imagine it does. The other injury that I think is of importance is offensive lineman Kevin Dotson for them. He's listed with an ankle injury. He has not played. He is one of their starting guards. I think he's very, very good. And the backup behind him is a player who looked like has played like 7 snaps this year and like 30 last year. So that one's going to be pretty interesting, especially if the Chargers defensive line is playing or kind of a mess.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The Steelers kind of are running into the same problem the Chargers had last year, where it's like you can kind of make a decent starting group, but you need to draft guys. You have to have depth. And for him to go from, you know, their starter to, like I said, a guy who's played 7 snaps, that's awful. But the Chargers dealt with that a lot last year. They're going to deal with it again this year, or at least in this game. So if he can't go and it doesn't look like he can go, it's huge. Huge for this very not great interior defensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, we need more Steelers losses to cover up our losses on the defensive line right now. You know, eye for an eye. Hammurabi's code, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. So I forgot to mention that Joe Hayden has also not practiced. He is their best corner.
What a list.
So the uncertainty in this game is honestly like unlike any other game that I've seen across the NFL. I mean, you've got so many good players potentially not playing in this matchup, you know, not having TJ Watt, not having Joey Bosa, well, likely not having them, no Minkah Fitzpatrick, no Michael Davis potentially. Like, it's just crazy to me the amount of injuries and COVID issues that both of these teams are dealing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, Buster Sportsbook isn't really our sponsor anymore, but I'm going to tell you, don't bet on this one.
Yeah, do not bet on this one. All right, guys, any other thoughts here about the injuries before we move on?
Bring up Ben DeLuca. Here we go.
Big Ben, honestly, Ben DeLuca.
Big Ben DeLuca.
He's our Big Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, they might have to. So, all right, let's dive into these key matchups and X factors for this one. I'm going to start this one off by talking about Cam Hayward versus Matt Filer. You know, of course, Cam Hayward could probably end up against Michael Schofield, but to me, you know, the matchup to watch really is Cam Hayward versus Matt Filer, because it's two really, really good players. I think Cam Hayward is one of the most underrated players in the NFL. He actually has more pressures than TJ Watt, which is kind of crazy if you really think about it, because he's an interior defensive lineman. He's 32, playing the best ball of his career, in my opinion, and producing at an insane level. He's top five at the defensive tackle position in pressures and run stops. He's the only defensive tackle to be top five in both. So you're looking at a guy in Matt Filer who's playing the best ball of his career, and he's going to go up against his former teammate, Cam Hayward, pretty much all day long. I think Filer has been a huge blessing for this team, played better than even than I thought he could. And, you know, Filer developed this nickname, the Anchor, while in Pittsburgh, in part because of his performances in practice against Cam Hayward. So they know each other incredibly well. They're both playing at a pretty high level. And I think, to me, like, of all the matchups in this one, I think Cam Hayward, especially if TJ Watt is out, and how they handle him or not handle him, really is going to be the biggest thing for this Chargers offense. And I can't wait to watch it. I really hope that Cam Hayward spends most of the day against Matt Filer, not just because him going against Michael Schofield would be a complete utter disaster for the Chargers, but I just want to see good on good. I want to see best on best, and I think we will. So Cam Hayward, Matt Filer, my matchup of the day.
Until it goes right to Schofield. So let's say it is Schofield, though, and you know Norton's and Schofield, that's a matchup they're going to lose.
Yes.
So flex your offensive line coaching chops here. How do you help an interior offensive lineman? We talk about the tackles all the time. Is there a way to help out a guard?
Not really. So you're doing a lot of like shifting, you know, you're doing a lot of shifting protections. Because the thing with the Pittsburgh Steelers is that they run a 3-4. They play a lot of five-man fronts. So you're asking your players to handle one-on-one matchups. I guess you could slide protections in a way that has the running back or tight ends taking on one of the bad edge rushers one-on-one. And then you have Lindsley and Norton helping out with Cam Hayward. But the way that the Steelers play, it's difficult, right? Like, there's a reason that TJ Watt and Bud Dupree always had a ton of pressures, because they always had the fewest amount of double teams, because the Steelers just run a ton of five-man fronts. Now we're seeing that with Cam Hayward. It's a ton of one-on-one opportunities. So really, in terms of protecting Justin Herbert, this is a week where you would love to have an efficient rushing attack. This is a week where you would love to see Austin Ekeler have 90, 100 yards, 105, whatever the case may be, and force the Steelers, you know, to play the run as opposed to playing the pass. So I mentioned the first downs and second downs. You have to stay ahead of the sticks and keep the Steelers away from known pass situations and run the ball as best as you can.
Yeah, I'm going to say my key matchup is Najee Harris. Like, that matters more to me than Big Ben or Mason Rudolph. I think they're kind of the same thing at this point, like I've said. And Najee Harris is not having like crazy averages. I believe he's averaging 3.7 yards per carry, but he does find ways to get involved in the receiving game. He does find ways to get involved on the ground. And I think if you're talking about a Chargers team that's not going to have Christian Covington, probably not going to have Jerry Tillery, and then having to kind of deal with Joey Bosa, obviously getting double teamed all the time, and probably, you know, dealing with, you know, potentially Linval Joseph, not as great as he has been if he is truly injured. I think that's a really tough task for this defensive line to have to deal with Najee Harris and the physical abuse he's kind of going to put on them. Even though the Steelers' offensive line isn't great right now, the Chargers have struggled with these kinds of running backs in the past. They did okay with Dalvin Cook last week and then sort of got through it. But, you know, there were also been a lot of missed tackle issues, and someone who could take advantage of the 14 missed tackles they had last week is Najee Harris. So to me, that is something that's going to come into account this game, and it's the key matchup that I am most concerned with from a defensive and offensive standpoint. They have to be able to tackle him and just bring him down on the ground. Whatever the gain is, you know, live with it, fight another play, but he cannot have some of these, you know, 3 yard gains that turn into 8 or 9 like Dalvin Cook had, in the week prior.
Well, to me, like the missed tackles has kind of become the drops issues of the defensive side, because it's coming at the worst possible time, right? Like, you have a 2nd and 20, the Minnesota Vikings run an outside zone play. You bottle up nicely. Jerry Tillery misses a tackle, and everybody thinks that he was tackled, and then it turns into a 15-yard gain. You know, you have a 2nd and 15 or whatever it was, and you throw a 2-yard pass to Alexander Mattison, and Kenneth Murray slips, and Mattison turns a 2-yard pass into a 24-yard gain after breaking 3 or 4 tackles. So, situationally, it's been tough to watch on film the missed tackles pop up, because, you know, you presumably would have hoped that they would have solved that issue. So this is definitely a matchup where, like I said, you have to be able to rally and tackle, and not miss 14. Like, if we could miss like 6 or 7 or 8, like, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Not 6 or 7 or 8 on one play, guys. And the whole game would be awesome. I believe Arjun pointed out the Steelers run a ton of inside zone. I don't know what the Vikings ran, but that's very zone. Yeah, that's what I figure. The Eagles ran a lot of inside zone. So what I'm getting at is that didn't work out for the Chargers. So hopefully they do better this time, much like the Raiders, much like the Vikings interior. Right now, it's not that great and it's banged up. So I think they can take advantage of that just to get a couple of plays. Maybe, yeah, sure. Maybe they give up some runs of 8, 9, whatever. But they can also get some good run stops, tackles for loss. Maybe, oh my gosh, a tackle for loss. That would be amazing. My key matchup in this one, I don't know who's going to be in the secondary, but it's going to be Justin Herbert versus the Steelers secondary, specifically on those bootlegs, quarterback movements with deep shots, because Herbert right now is a pocket passer. He's just not hitting those deep shots. Now, some of them, like last week, 2 of them were called back, or not called back. They don't count because of defensive pass interference. Other ones, he's just not getting there. It's a panic thing, potentially, not being able to read if they show blitz or something speeds up his internal clock. He's going to Keenan Allen intermediate or short, while Mike Williams is way down the sideline by himself because the DB actually tripped or whatever on the play. Williams is like, hello, anybody? You know, Cook on a corner, he's there. But when Herbert moves, and you think of any of the plays that he's had this year that are those huge, nice plays, you know, with the biggest bombs you can think of this year, the Parham touchdown that didn't count in Dallas, the big 50, 60, whatever yard catch against the Eagles from Williams, Williams' big touchdown against the Cleveland Browns, Allen down the sideline of the Dallas game that you talked about last week is one of the best plays of the year. Allen down the sideline again against the Vikings. All of them are on the move. He's just way more comfortable there. Doesn't really have to read as much. So assuming the protection holds up, that's part of the reason that it doesn't work when he's on the move. But if it holds up, I think I want to see him challenge this secondary that's going to be pretty banged up, I think. It just simplifies the read. It gives him a ton of time to survey what's going on through extending the play. And it just seems like he's very comfortable doing it. So I'm very curious to see if they can capitalize on those deep passes, get him to move more. I feel like they always have that one kill shot per game, maybe 2. Against the Eagles, I loved how they were moving him outside the pocket. Even if it was kind of a short or intermediate 15-yard pass to Josh Palmer, they were just moving a little bit. Things really clicked for him. So I'd like to see them get back to that, because then they got away from that against the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the way that Justin Herbert is playing, because I've been pretty critical of him, and I think a lot of that is deserving. And one of the plays that, you know, what you were mentioning kind of made me think about was his incomplete pass to Austin Eckler that he, you know, sailed 10 yards over his head. And I wanted to talk about it because you had on that play, Donald Parham was running a corner route and Mike Williams was running a go route. In my opinion, both of them were open. You could have pulled the trigger on both of them. The problem is that it seemed like Justin Herbert, I don't want to put, you know, words in his mouth or anything like that, but it seemed like he was expecting cover 2. and the safety dropped and turned it into a cover one robber look, which is pretty common. A lot of teams do that. And so the safety dropping, it looked like it really surprised Herbert. And so he kind of panicked, and then he kind of went, instead of going to like his third read, so I want to say it was Jalen Guyton was running like a deep over route on the opposite side. So instead of going Parham one, Williams two, Guyton three, he went all the way back to Mike, to Austin Eckler. And then for whatever reason, he felt like there was pressure. There wasn't. And he lofted a pass 10 yards over the head of Austin Eckler. So I promise everyone listening to this show right now, there are deep shots. They are being called. Some of that is that Justin Herbert is not trusting either the receivers or the protection, or just he's not trusting the scheme. He's not comfortable. But the deep play calls that all of us want are there. Justin Herbert just has to let the ball rip. So, you know, I don't know what it is there. It's probably a variety of a lot of things. But that play to me really is kind of encompasses the play of Justin Herbert over the last few weeks. Play calls there, receiver gets open, and he just he messes up.
Yeah, one of the things you were talking about with, I forget his name, I'm sorry, you just interviewed him for these Cover the Steelers.
Brian.
Yes, he was talking about all the injuries that they had. And basically, when it came down to Fitzpatrick, he said, you know, he didn't know who the guy was after Fitzpatrick. Like, he couldn't think of his name. So to me, it's like you can feel comfortable going after the secondary, because if you cover the team, he knew everybody else. He knew everybody else, no problem, forwards and backwards. But he's like, I don't know like, who they after, who's after Minka Fitzpatrick, because A, Fitzpatrick is that good, and you don't have to really think about it. And B, the guy after him probably isn't that good. So you can go after him.
Yeah, and, you know, Joe Hayden potentially not playing either. And it's not like the other corners are fantastic. So, you know, I would love to know, like, I would love to be a fly on the wall of the quarterback meetings. But I think, you know, the lack of deep shots is definitely the lack of frequency somewhat. But the play calls are there. You know, Jalen Guyton is getting open deep down the field. Mike Williams is getting open down the field. Donald Parham getting open down the field. I'm hoping that Justin Herbert comes out a little bit more aggressive himself and, you know, really trust those players to make plays.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't the case all year, but against the Vikings, I don't know if it was just 10 to 15 yard kind of routes or whatever, but Mike Williams, that stat, he was open on 80% of his routes, and Herbert just didn't go to him. Now, he did go to him once and he completely botched it, dropped the touchdown. So maybe there's a reason he's not going to him, but I mean, if he's open on 80% of his routes, someone's getting open. Someone's scheming these things open. The deep balls are there. He's just not hitting them.
Yeah. And to be clear here, I'm not concerned about Justin Herbert long term. I still think he's a fantastic player. It's just that we've expected so much of him. So to see him be just a little off on these particular plays is just a little surprising. Any thoughts, Alex?
No, you guys have been on top of the whole deep pass debate the whole week. I have nothing to add that would be productive to twitter.com. That's it for me. Do we want to get into X Factors?
Yeah, let's move on to X Factors. Alex, you go right ahead there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Steelers cornerback Trey Norwood, who is probably going to be replacing Minka Fitzpatrick this week. So if you watched, if you watched the Steelers-Lions game last week, one of the things that happened in that game, I watched a little bit of it, actually. It's very unfortunate that I did. But he's their seventh-round pick out of Oklahoma last year. Got some increased time, actually, when Joe Hayden went out. So that's sort of why his snaps went up last week. This is obviously going to be the most snaps, you know, probably that he's ever played in his career. His career high, or at least season high to this point, he played 68 snaps in week one. So he could be, you know, on track for that kind of pace again. So in that game, he sort of gave up 48 yards, 9.6 yards per reception. 83.3 reception percentage. So, you know, not great numbers when he's been, you know, sort of targeted the whole game. But recently he's been playing well. But again, this is sort of, he was sort of flexed out a little bit of the lineup, and now he's sort of being flexed back in into that, you know, primary corner role. He'll sort of be doing a little bit of both Joe Hayden's work and potentially Minka Fitzpatrick's work if he is going to be playing in this game. So that might be the guy to target, or he might prove us all wrong and sort of have that game of games where Justin Herbert can't really pick on him and has to pick on somebody else. But I think how he plays, and it, particularly in lieu of the Fitzpatrick COVID situation, is actually going to be really big in this one. So that's, to me, the name to watch as far as next factor.
Yeah, absolutely. He, I'm looking at the Steelers with their injury report. They do like a little story on it too. And so they have on here about Trey Norwood, obviously a rookie. He's apparently Cameron Sutton, who's the opposite corner, said that he's a guy who's been in multiple positions for us, a guy who has a lot of awareness out there on the field, plays with a lot of physicality, smart and tough. It's something we preach not only in our secondary as a unit and as a team, guys who are versatile, can move around, gives us options week in and week out, matchup wise or schematically. So, I mean, like I said, you know, Mike Tomlin used to be a secondary coach. Like, that's kind of his, you know, that's his MO. And, you know, he's going to have that unit ready to go for sure. But the injuries are absolutely notable. And I'm glad that Alex mentioned Trey Norwood there.
Did you grade Trey Norwood?
I did not. I graded his teammate, okay. Trey Brown. I like Trey Brown, but I did not grade Trey Norwood.
Okay. Just curious. My X factor is going to be Andre Roberts. I do think it's actually potentially relevant in this game. I do think no matter who's missing on that defense, kind of like the Vikings, it's going to be a very, very tight game. And Andre Roberts has delivered. Like, I know some plays aren't great, but I'll take the iffy with some great returns over obviously what we had before.
Yeah.
And I think him just getting them in a position like he did at the first half of the Vikings game, and they didn't capitalize, but getting them in that position. And when a game is going to be, I'm sure, pretty close, even though it really shouldn't be, it'll probably be close. I think just the extra 5 yards on a return, heck, getting them to the 50, making it a really easy, you know, maybe they can kick a field goal after a couple of yards or whatever it is. I think he's an X factor in this game. We saw the last time the Chargers played the Steelers. It really came down to special teams helping out. That boost that Desmond King gave to the team was huge. And I think Andre Roberts could do something similar this time.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned him too, because he's been better on punt returns than kick returns, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought it would be the other way around. So he's averaging a little over 8 yards per punt return, and he's been really good back there. I think that's been a good boost to the team for sure. All right. My X factor, I mentioned him earlier. It's going to be Donald Parham. So to me, I think it's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that some of the best offensive outputs the team has had have been when they've gone out of their way to use Donald Parham and use him in the flats, use him, you know, over the middle, use him in the red zone. And I think one of the biggest frustrations for me looking back at the film last week was that Parham was getting open and they were just, you know, he was either the third read or the fourth read, or, you know, they hand the ball off on an RPO when he's open. So, you know, Parham is somebody that I'm very interested in the back half of this season, because Jared Cook's not really doing a whole lot for me right now or for the team, obviously. So I would like to see them expand Donald Parham's role. You know, they're using him a ton as a blocker still, and I get that he has improved a lot, but you have Trey McKitty who's improving as a blocker. You have Steven Anderson who's improving as a blocker. So I would really like to see them expand Donald Parham's role. And, you know, Alex mentioned the uncertainty surrounding Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think this is a matchup that can be had with the tight ends and specifically Parham. So he is my X factor of the week.
I don't see any reason to not be going to Parham too in these situations. Again, another deviation from what they did against the Eagles. Not that he has to be a feature, you know, 3-4 targets, whatever it was.
Yeah.
There was one really good one, right? They got Herbert out of the pocket, gave it to Parham, nice route upfield or whatever. But, you know, get him a little bit more involved. No one's been able to stop him, and he's open, you know, so it's not like he's not like getting open. It's not like teams are stopping him. He's bodying smaller defenders.
Yep.
And there's no reason to not go to him. Again, another criticism of Lombardi. That's a very valid one. They should be featuring him at least 3 times a game, 4 times a game, or at least until someone can stop him. They can't stop him so far, so why not feature him?
Just make him TE1 already. I'm sick of watching Jared Cook. I can't do it anymore with the drops and the I don't know where to be on plays. Like, come on. But it's not going to happen this year, but I would really want it to. They should be getting Donald Parham involved. They should be getting Steven Anderson involved. But, you know, that all changes from game to game in terms of who they decide to get involved. So I'd love to see it. Don't know if I have confidence that Lombardi's actually going to do it this game, or that he'll feel that he'll have the opportunity to.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think you know, the Chargers have a lack of speed problem. And, you know, we can talk about the decision to not sign Tyron Johnson again. But, you know, we're hearing from Daniel Popper on his YouTube show and in his articles that the team is really close to benching Jalen Guyton, who is their only speedster on the team. And to me, like, a way to kind of compensate that is use your 6'8 tight end who can run a 4.5 or whatever, yeah, and is extremely fast to, you know, can beat safeties, mm-hmm, and linebackers, and use him more vertically. You know, they're using him a lot in the flats, a lot in, like I said, in the intermediate. You know, let Parham stretch the field. So I think he's an X factor for this game, and I think he's an X factor for the rest of the season.
Yeah, if we can't go small and quick, let's just go fucking huge. Like, why not? if the fast stuff isn't working and you want to work, you know, intermediate, whatever, yeah, get the big dudes out there.
Yeah, the Chargers ran this super, like, cool look out, right? So they were in 13 personnel. They had the three tight ends, Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen. And they motioned to empty. They motioned to empty with your three tight ends on the field. And I saw that happen, and I was like, this is going to be fucking awesome. So they run double slants, and then Jared Cook runs a flat route underneath, and they threw it to Jared Cook, and it went for a 2-yard gain. I was so mad, yeah, and so disappointed about that.
Honestly, I mean, I think they should be doing that in the red zone more. Like, we saw that, yeah, earlier in the year, where they were just, like, throw Mike Williams and Donald Parham and all the tall people in the end zone. I don't know, sign LeBron to be tight end if you want. Like, just throw all the tall guys in the end zone and throw the ball to them. Like, it feels like they're overcomplicating things when it doesn't really need to be that complicated.
And obviously, like, you know, we understand why they signed Jared Cook. You know, you didn't really, mm-hmm, know what you had in these guys. You know, it makes sense. He's been kind of productive. You know, Justin Herbert has counted on him in some key moments. But, you know, we've seen them kind of scale back his snaps a little bit. He's no longer on pace for a career high in snaps, which is really good. But, you know, we're still not seeing a ton of routes from Donald Parham. You know, he's still blocking a ton, and I would like to see them kind of shift gears there. All right. So let's apparently Donald. Oh, Craig. What up, Craig? Craig wants to know if Popper is still standing by his whole Jalen Guyton is better than Tyron Johnson take. Just asking for a troll.
He's allowed to be wrong if he wants to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you guys read that Jacksonville Jaguars article about why they cut him?
No.
It was they didn't like the way that he was adjusting to the playbook and didn't feel like he was able to run a diverse route tree. They didn't like his route running ability.
Did Urban Meyer say that from the facility or the titty bar? That's how much I
both, actually.
Jaguars
both. I'm pretty sure both. Yeah, pretty sure they converted it to both.
So I don't buy it. I don't know. There's something going on. I hate that he signed with the Raiders, but it is what it is. That's probably the last we'll mention of him. All right, let's get to our bold predictions in this one. I'll start us off here. We were just very critical of Justin Herbert, you know, in his inability to kind of push the ball down the field. We've also seen him bounce back. You know, he had the bad game against the Patriots, and he had a fantastic game against, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles. So given the injuries to the Pittsburgh Steelers secondary, I think we see Justin Herbert get 400 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. And I'll give him one on the road. I think we see a big Justin Herbert game in this one.
I like it. I love it, man. Some primetime Herbert is so good.
All right. Yeah, no, I'll go first, I guess. Yeah, bold predictions. I'm going to go with a special teams one. And hey. I'm going to say we're going to be building a statue this week for Andre Roberts. I think this is the week it could happen.
Okay.
I'm looking at, so this is from special teams rankings. The Steelers currently, when it comes to opposing punt return yards, they are 22nd. They are 30th in the league when it comes to opponent kick return yards.
Oh,
so that is a little stat to, you know, the Steelers traditionally good on special teams, but they in that regard have not been great this year. So I think this could be a little bit of Andre Roberts punt return week. I'd love to see it. So punt return touchdown. Let's go for it.
Alex, that is cool. That is a good pull, man. Well done.
I like it. I like it. You know, Chris Rumpf was getting blown up like 3 times a game on kickoff returns. It's only like once per game now. So I do think things are improving. So yeah, I could see him having a kickoff.
So return. Here's the thing. Why here's not? The thing about return touchdowns. You have to have the other people block. So the other 10 people in the field, get your shit together.
Well, apparently you don't have to, because the Vikings guy was his return for like 40 yards or whatever it was. And he just went to the other side of the field where there was nobody. So I don't even know if you have to block. I think you just have to play the Chargers.
Hey, well, the good news, they are 31st in special teams DVOA now. They are no longer 32nd. We are moving up the chain.
I'm curious what the gap is between 31st and 30th. Like, can we get this week? I think we can. I think we can. Yeah.
Just don't be dreadful on punt, and I think they'll get there.
Okay,
it's sad
I like
that we
it.
Live like this. It's sad that we've accepted these conditions, and we're just willing to take this abuse.
Yeah. Oh my god. All right, my bold prediction. So I challenge the defense to be better. Are they going to show up? They should. I believe they can. Will they? I think they are going to put it together. I think the defense really puts it together for the first time in a while, and they hold the Steelers to 17 points. I know that seems like a lot of points, but I think holding them to 17 points, especially considering they could be missing a couple of guys, I think that's doable. So is 17 points bold? I actually think it is.
Given the injuries and the COVID issues, I think that's very bold.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, we're going to move on to our league-wide picks segment, excuse me. We'll move to Alex is going to have an ad for ExpressVPN and then update us on our pick standings.
Yeah, you can go to expressvpn.com/guilty if you want to watch beautiful all 22 of that Steelers-Lions tie that caused Tyler to not catch up to me yet again. What a beautiful selection. And then Big Ben was out with COVID. Oh, man. Not that I'm happy Big Ben got COVID, but Tyler really lost that pick. So sucks to suck, baby. But yeah, go to expressvpn.com/guilty. They sponsor the picks. So these are the standings brought to you by expressvpn.com/guilty. Go get your 3-month free trial today. I am 21-9. Tyler is 20-10. One game off my pace. And Steven surprisingly had the best game, best week of any of us. He's 14-16 now. He went 2-1 while me and Tyler went 1-2. So he's sort of heating up maybe at the right time. He just only has to make up 6 or 7 games here. So we'll see if he can do it. But So those are the GAC standings for a jersey brought to you by expressvpn.com/guilty.
I know. I had to laugh the other day when Daniel Popper was complaining about Game Pass, and Alex and I both almost like simultaneously mentioned him and be like, hey, use this. It's so much better. I promise.
Yeah. Just go to medical school to foreign country. It's easy. I don't know why you guys haven't exposed this loophole in Game Pass yet.
That being said, I believe it's Tyler's turn to go first. Am I correct?
Sure.
Right, so Tyler, you go first. Alex, you go second. I'll go last because I was first last time.
Yeah, last time I went first, it completely backfired on me. I was like, hey, thanks for all the easy stuff. And then I was like 1-2 or whatever. So that's great. But I can't wait for Steven's pick, because whoever he picks, one of them is going to be cursed this week.
One of them's going to get blown the hell out.
Yes. He really should have gone 3-0 last week. And then Tom Brady just decided to shit the bed against Taylor Heineke. It's amazing.
Yeah,
Tom Brady against backup quarterbacks, man. It's undefeated.
All right. I feel confident about this, though. God help me. I'm going to go with the Browns over the Lions. I think that, listen.
You're picking against the Lions still 2 weeks in a row?
Come on. They can't tie 2 weeks in a row, right? They can't possibly
do that. Dan Campbell
will
damn sure try to tie 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I think the Browns have a quarterback at least. I think they can pull it off. And that line is amazing. So I think they can overcome it. This is going to be a disaster. I'll go with the Titans over the Texans for my other pick. I don't know how many players are playing for the Titans right now, but the Texans are bad. Although the defense is still better than the Chargers, apparently. And then for my upset pick, I will go with the Cowboys over the Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah.
How much are the Chiefs favored by in that one? Oh, because it's in Kansas City, huh? I thought it was in Dallas. Okay. That makes more sense.
It's probably in Kansas City, but I'll check.
I feel like that might be a pick
in Kansas City. It's at least on Yahoo Sports, it's Chiefs.
Yeah, it's Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Minus
3.5?
2.5. Okay. That's about right, I guess. All right. I guess we are going to get into my picks now. I will take the... Oh, God. I'm betting against Urban Meyer again. So I'm going to have to go with the San Francisco 49ers over the Jaguars. Kyle Shanahan, he pulled it together this week, so... I think he can outsmart Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, but I also picked Buffalo over the Jags, so who knows? So I will go with San Francisco. I think the Bills bounce back this week. Wait, did you take Bills over Colts? Was I paying attention?
No, he didn't pay.
No,
didn't
because take the Bills. Okay,
he didn't take the Bills. I'll take the Bills. I think they get it together against the Colts. That just makes too much sense to happen. So I will go, with the Bills over the Colts, and I will go with the Niners over the Jags. If you wouldn't mind, give me the line for the Saints-Eagles game.
The Eagles are favored by 1.5.
Fuck, I wanted to do it so bad. Okay, well, I'm going to have to move on to another game then. Not a lot of great upset material. What's the line for Bengals Raiders?
Bengals by one.
In Vegas.
Bengals are favored by
Vegas. No, I'm not going to do that one. Jeez.
That's surprising, really... though. I'm surprised that the Bengals are favored by, like, at all over the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Raiders haven't looked too great recently. That's been the problem.
Okay, Alex, I'm making fun. If you call outright win between the Dolphins and the Jets correctly, I will give you a point of mine.
Whoa.
But
you mean like the score? Like he has to name the score?
No. Like who like just outright winner, no upset. Just as one of your outright winners, Dolphins, Jets.
Dolphins. Wait. Who's the favorite in that one?
The Dolphins are the favorite.
Fuck. Okay. Well, I can't pick. Wait, can I in add that to my?
No.
Oh, no. I would have to go back on one of my Bills picks. Oh, God.
Come on, man. It's been like 10 minutes. Do it?
So bad. All right. I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to retroactively. I'm going to take the Niners-Jags pick off the board. I am going to go with the Bills, and I'm going to go with the Dolphins this week. And if Tyler loses that, then I pick two games off of him. So then I'm going to take the Dolphins this week. That's going to be tough. Jeez, I can't pick an upset to save my life. What's the Washington Carolina one?
Carolina minus 3.5.
Give me Taylor Heineke. I don't fucking know what I'm doing. Okay. All right. Washington, very Buffalo, nice. And Miami.
There we go. All right. So I'm taking the Green Bay Packers over the Minnesota Vikings. Packers only favored by 2.5. I'm surprised by that. Aaron Rodgers has played extremely well against them, so I expect that to continue. I will take the... Is Kyler playing? Do we know yet?
I think so.
I want to say they're pessimistic.
Game time decision, I think.
Okay, so I'm going to stay away from that one. I just picked the Buccaneers last week. So I don't know. Maybe this will curse Tom Brady again. So kind of a win-win for me. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the New York Giants. And then for my upset of the week, I'm going to take the Chicago Bears over the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens are in kind of a bad spot right now. And I think Justin Fields showed some really, really good stuff, really high-level quarterback stuff last week. I expect him to get that monkey off his back and win that game, the Falcons win that that was for Justin Herbert. So I'm taking the Bears in that one.
All right. I like it.
All right, so we're going to get into our specific predictions for this one. If you haven't asked any questions, please do so in the chat right now. If you want to use the Super Chat feature, that is the best way to get that done. I saw that we had one earlier that was making kind of a joke. So I think that was LA Chargers 37, I believe, who kind of said that one. So if you want to use the Super Chat, please feel free to do so. That being said, who wants to go first for their predictions in this one?
I want Alex to go first.
Oh, God, you set me up. You set me up, you bitch. All right. So here's the thing. I first want to say I can't believe Tyler actually roped me into being emotionally invested in the Dolphins game. I am now, I might be more invested in that than the Eagles game that's on at the same time now. That game really determines my fate. So I don't know. We'll see. As far as Chargers-Steelers, I'm going to take the Steelers in this one. I don't like doing this, but when the Chargers offense has looked how it's looked, I just can't pick them anymore. Like, I feel like the emotionally abused boyfriend who's just, you know, going through the same stuff every week. The offense is going to get better, honey. It hasn't. And it's been a real problem. So I sort of need to see it before I pick this team again. And I know people are going to say Mason Rudolph's playing, Mick Fitzpatrick's out, TJ Watt's out. Cool, but like, this should be the week they get it together, but I need to see them do it, because, you know, I mean, it's not like Bill Belichick had like an amazing quarterback performance, you know, when he beat the Chargers with Mac Jones. Like, that wasn't, you know, it wasn't terrific. And Lamar actually didn't play great against the Chargers either, but they had John Harbaugh there, who sort of evened the game out for them and outcoached Brandon Staley in that game. So I do not want to pick against the Chargers, but I am for now, until I see them get the offense together. This is just how it's going to be for me. Obviously, I'm going to pick them when they play the Giants or some of these poo-poo caca teams. You know, when those come on the table, it's easy. But until they get this offense together, until Brandon Staley doesn't get outcoached, I have to pick the Steelers to win this game 20-17.
Yeah, and I completely understand where you'd go.
I thought you were going to say agree. I was going to be surprised.
No. The thing about the offense for me is, as I see that the plays are there, and at some point you'd like regression to come back to the mean. They can't drop another four passes, right? They're not going to, you know, Herbert's not going to miss four deep passes that are wide open, right?
For a month,
you know, I know. I'm waiting. Now, we technically are like at a half point of the season, so maybe things start, you know, rounding out. If nothing was getting open and the offense looked bad and the line was terrible, then sure. But I see things developing. The line is still very good. 3.5 of them are very good. The quarterback's excellent.
Who's the half?
So just a half, whichever half you want, up, down, left, right.
It's a quarter of each.
Yeah. Rush is outside half. That works better. But the Steelers, I think the Chargers got lucky on this end of the injury report. Davis is back. Adderley is back. I do think Bosa will kind of return, or he will return. It seems like, you know, if he just stays in a bubble, he'll be there. Whereas Watt's not going to be there. Hayden's not going to be there. Fitzpatrick might not be there. You know, and Dotson might not be there. I just think, even though it's going to be close, like Alex said, the coach is very good. Mike Tomlin is always going to keep it close. There's a reason that they have not had a losing season since he's entered the league as the coach, which is, I don't even understand how that's possible.
Yeah.
But I think they're just too banged up. I think the Chargers did end up on the right side of the injury report. So I'll say the Chargers do win 24-17.
Yeah, I think, you know, from a betting standpoint, I was really surprised at this line being 5.5. To me, this is kind of a toss-up game because, you know, the Chargers are struggling. The Steelers are kind of struggling too. So, it's two teams that have not been looking really great or even very good consistently over the last month. But, you know, I think Mike Tomlin, you know, he is one of the most underrated coaches in NFL history. I think, you know, when he was talking about being asked about USC job, I think he was rightfully upset because he is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Not having a losing season over the course of 16, 17 years, whatever, that he's been the coach is ridiculous, especially when you had the one season in 2019 with 4 games of Mason Rudolph and 5 games of Duck Hodges. And Big Ben has been really bad in the last few years. So Mike Tomlin is a fantastic coach. I expect this game to be close. I expect this game to be, you know, potentially won on a field goal or, you know, stopped a last second stop or last second touchdown, whatever, this is going to be a close game. So from a betting standpoint, I'm probably picking the Steelers against the points, but I think the Chargers should have enough to get the win. I think with the way that the Steelers are banged up, if TJ Watt were playing in this game, if just TJ Watt were playing in this game, I would probably pick the Steelers. But because he's probably not going to play, I'm going to pick the Chargers. And I kind of agree with the score prediction of Alex. You know, 2017-ish feels right to me. So I'll take the opposite 2017, but with the Chargers winning.
Got to be a close one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I completely understand why, you know, Alex is doing that.
Totally. You
know, if you're looking at this Chargers team from like an objective betting standpoint, like I would not pick the Chargers to cover this spread and win in this game. If I were just on the outside looking in, trying to pick this game and make some money off of it.
I'm here for reverse jinx, baby. I just need people to be able to say, "Fuck you, Alex. You were wrong. We won by 35." That'd be great. That's all I'm going for here.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
Nothing. I was going to make a comment about the Eternals, but it's not worth that. I think most people haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so thank you. All right, we'll get to some of these questions, and then we'll head out for the day.
I just
ask me any question you want, except a deep pass question. I will mute you. I don't care. I just want to
say, the funniest moment of the Manning cast for me this year was when Eli was going to commercial break, and he was just like, "Oh, we're going to preview Peyton's new commercial for the Externals."
Yeah. I was kind of bummed that neither of the Mannings asked Philip Rivers about Justin Herbert. I kind of wish that they had, but otherwise he did really good.
Yeah.
All right. So ask some questions. I'm trying to scroll and find some. Apparently Tyler made a wanting to punch Alex in the face look during that segment.
Oh yeah. That was when he gave me the middle finger when I was reading the standings.
Yeah. So yeah, I got hosed by the Bengals, getting beat by the Jets, and then the Steelers, Roethlisberger getting COVID the day before, and then tying with the Lions. It's not been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got hosed by Mike White, and now they're benching him for Joe Flacco again.
What a bizarre situation. I really thought that Douglas and Saleh would be different there. Kind of seems just like they're more of the same, weirdly. Jarrett wants to know, do you think that Donald Parham is tight end one next season?
Depends. I think he can be the tight end one, but yeah. I also still think they'll have Anderson back probably. I think Jared Cook will walk, but then you're also kind of developing Trey McKitty and maybe signing another tight end or doing something like that. So I think it's very possible considering, you know, his efficiency and his production and the coaching staff just being like, "Hey, this guy's 6'8". Maybe we should just throw the ball to him more. It sounds like it would work." He's improved as a blocker. Like, so I don't see why he couldn't be, but it depends on what direction they want to go.
I think it's trending that way.
Sorry.
Yeah, good. I think it's trending that direction for Donald Parham. You know, kind of depends on the market too. You know, maybe they kind of move some things around, but Corey Linsley apparently said something on Monday. You know, I wish we could watch the fucking press conference, but you know, he was talking about just kind of the lack of continuity with the Chargers, you know, from last season. There's, you know, every starter is new on the offensive line, brand new coaching staff, completely overhauled. So I can't imagine that they are going to let like a ton of Justin Herbert's support system walk again in free agency. So I expect Donald Parham to be back. And unless they sign, you know, I don't even know who's a free agent off the top of my head, but barring like a first or second round pick on a tight end, I think it's going to be Parham as tight end one next year.
Just to clarify, Parham is a exclusive rights free agent. So basically it just costs $600K to bring him back. So there's like no downside.
Well, give him an extension then.
Yeah, that too.
It depends on what they want to do, because I think he can be, if they want more of a receiving, like shifty threat, what's it called? Like a power, not a power slot. What was Nate Tyson, those guys trying to call the tight slot, ends?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if they want like a power slot, I don't really know if that's Parham. I think he's excellent. He's a much improved blocker.
He's an inline
I do
guy.
Think. Yeah, definitely. He's, you know, great in the flat, great on the outside of the boundary, great on screens. Just don't really know if he's like that route runner tight end sort of type. That's not really Jared Cook either, but I think they kind of envision Cook being sort of that, whereas Parham's that excellent weapon that they should be using but aren't. So do I think he's tight end one next year? It depends on what they want. If they want to go a more shifty route runner, fine. If they want, you know, and they might not make him the tight end one. If they are okay with him as tight end one and understand sort of his limitations, partially because of his size, and they want to get a receiver early on instead, I could see that happening too. So I do think he'll be back. I just don't know. It depends on what they want to do, because they could upgrade that position, but I hope they don't let him go, because, you know, outside of Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert's really is some of his favorite targets, Hunter Henry, Tyron Johnson, both those guys left. So now taking another unique weapon away, like Donald Parham, like that would, that wouldn't be good for him, I don't think. And it's not really a Telesco thing to let go of someone like Parham, just like it wasn't really a Telesco thing to let go of someone like Tyron Johnson. So hopefully they don't, because I would just hate for them to keep shuffling through different guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, Mike Williams is a free agent too, so I would imagine that they would want to keep, you know, at least most of that core intact. Just for reference's sake, Zach Ertz is a free agent. excuse me. Jimmy Graham's a free agent. Rob Gronkowski, CJ Uzama, Eric Ebron, Gerald Everett, Jared Cook, Max Williams, Mo Alie-Cox, Robert Tonyan, Anthony Firkser, Lee Smith, OJ Howard, Hayden Hurst, Evan Engram, Jeff Swain, David Njoku, Tyler Kroft, Mike Gesicki, Ross Dwelly, Dallas Goedert, Jesse James, Blake Bell, and that's until it gets really gross. So those are the kind of good names. Cool. All right.
Sorry, I was typing. My bad.
You're good. Reality Check wants to know if we think the Chargers will hold. Excuse me. Hit my computer. Reality Check wants to know if the Chargers will hold the Steelers to under 120 rush yards. If Linval Joseph does not play, there's zero chance in hell that happens. So kind of depends right now.
I mean, it's possible on the basis that the Steelers don't have a mobile quarterback who can run it all. And I guess if you're just saying Najee Harris could have like 100 yards and then maybe like 30-40 receiving, like that's not a crazy thing for him either, so it could happen. I wouldn't bet on it to happen though. No,
definitely not.
Well, you guys don't know this who are listening, but Alex is currently on a 4-game winning streak in fantasy football, and I'm playing him this week and I have Najee Harris. So if the streak were to continue, I think it's because Najee Harris does not have a big game. So maybe Alex has some really good luck right now. So I think between Alex's great luck and me picking the Steelers and them tying, and me having Najee Harris this week, I think Najee Harris is going to have, like, you know, 20 yards and 4 fumbles.
Yeah, I need Najee to have a good game for my other league, though. So, I don't know. It's sort of one of those situations.
Yeah. Alex almost quit our league, and now he's going to be in the playoffs.
What a turnaround.
Honestly.
We had to hold a gun to Alex's head for him not to quit. And now then he kicked off his win streak by beating Steven.
I know. So you're welcome, Alex.
Thank you.
Jeff Thompson wants to know if we think it's time for another Derwin interception game.
It's time for anyone to get an interception game. Like, please, we need the turnover ratio to be better.
I mean, that... Tyler was right. That Tavon Campbell dropped interception was so much worse on film than it was on the broadcast. I mean, that man had at least 35 yards in front of him if he were able to catch that one. So I'm less upset about Derwin's interception that happened in the end zone, because it was just like a crazy play that he was able to recover from in that instance anyway. But I mean, this team needs someone to create some turnovers, and I think that we've seen, like I've said it a bunch of times, like there are some players who are like really close in these instances to creating one. They just need to make it happen.
I mean, I think they can.
If you can't do it against Mason Rudolph, then what are we talking about with this defense? So this should be the game to get a turnover.
Yeah, the other thing too I wanted to mention, you know, I tweeted this out, but on that last third and 18, or the third and 20 that the Vikings converted for 18. I'm fairly confident in saying if that were Nasir Adderley, that would have been an interception, because Trey Marshall was like petrified of getting beat deep. And it was like so obvious that Thielen was running a deep dig route. And Kirk Cousins just like looked at it and was like, oh, the safety's 20 yards behind where he should be. I'm just going to chuck it up. And, you know, Thielen made a play. So, you know, I think we see the Chargers make a couple turnovers in this one. I really do. Wrong Speedy asked about Xavien Howard. He got an extension by the Dolphins. He is not a free agent. So if the Chargers want Xavien Howard, they would have to trade for him, which they won't.
Yeah, and I don't really see corner being a trade or a big free agent thing for the next year, barring no, because unless they want Campbell to be a rotation sort of guy and they want to move Asante Samuel Jr. to the slot and then put Williams from the Rams at the outside. Otherwise, I really don't see them going for any big free agents or trades.
Me either.
Couple people asking about Devontae Adams and Mike Williams conversation. I'm still leaning towards re-signing Mike Williams. You know, like I said, I think you want to keep the core of Justin Herbert's support system intact, you know, especially as you're going into year two of a new system. I have a hard time thinking, like Jeff Thompson points out, that Popper thinks Mike Williams walks for too much money. I don't know if I buy that. Like, he would have to really like get back to complete domination like he was in the first five games for me to think that, oh, he's going to walk for too much money. So that's certainly possible in terms of the domination. But right now, I have a hard time thinking that the Chargers wouldn't be able to afford him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the Chargers being able to afford him issue. I mean, they have plenty of cap next year and the next coming years anyway. It's, you know, do you still want him on the team kind of issue? I mean, like, look, yeah. I think this was a similar conversation around Hunter Henry, where it was just like, you know, is he above replaceability? Do they view Mike Williams as someone who's above that, even, you know, with his current problems, dropping the ball and all that? I was all about giving Mike Williams the blank check because I thought he made the leap, and then he didn't make the leap. So, you know, we're sort of back to watching 2019-2020 Mike Williams out there, and I think that's a reasonable thing to be concerned about. I don't know if it means they go after Devontae Adams, but like I said last podcast or in the last few that we've done, I'm very neutral in the idea of bringing him back in general.
It's so tough because, like you said, you don't want to get rid of another weapon of his. I don't see him, barring a catastrophic injury or something, or him being just a weird, like, I will not take less than X amount of money kind of situation, or like the Patriots where they offered Hunter Henry a ridiculous amount of money per year. The Chargers are just like, never mind then. Other than that, like, I don't see how that they would move on from him, but I don't know. For him to be still struggling, I thought there was something there to begin the season, but you see, as it is right now, he's 80th out of 117 receivers at getting open against man coverage. That's bad. That's not good enough, especially for, you know, an offense sort of like this, a former seventh round pick. I don't know. It's such a shame. It's like everything that we saw in training camp and everything we feared was going to happen happened after his breakout. I don't understand. You know, is it? Yeah. It doesn't seem like they teams are like they're still featuring Keenan Allen. That hasn't changed. Keenan Allen's still on the field. They have other weapons. They have Eckler. They have all sorts of other things. And Williams he's not getting the ball. He's dropping the ball, which is awful. Now he's also not getting open against man. It's so tough because you saw everything that was there, and a thing that we'd never seen before. And then he's now not even a part of the game plan, dropping the touchdown that could have changed the game. So I don't know. It's so unfortunate. If Adams is there, and he's out of Green Bay, that's the guy I'm going for, and I wouldn't hesitate.
100%.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the wide receiver market in general, because obviously you have Devontae Adams, you have Chris Godwin, who are two players that I think will absolutely get, you know, monster deals. They're certainly worth it. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., if he plays well down the stretch, what happens there? Same with Mike Williams. You know, what happens there? Juju Smith-Schuster is hurt. T.Y. Hilton's hurt. So there's not, outside of Godwin and Adams, there's not a ton of like certainty in terms of that position. So I'm just kind of curious, like, from a objective standpoint, like what happens there. In terms of other receivers, like I know everybody wants to talk about Davante Adams, and I think they have the money to go do that. But I think they could go after like a couple free agents and as opposed to like one if they wanted to do. Cedric Wilson, just looking at this list, is somebody that is really interesting to me. You know, I've kind of talked about the lack of yards after catch consistency, and I think Cedric Wilson would be a big help there. All right. Yeah. I think that's good enough for tonight. Sorry, Alex. Well,
that's okay.
We're running on an hour and a half. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, make sure and like the show, subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to the audio version of this, please leave a rating or a review. Tyler, Alex, and Arjun are going to be doing the Q&A this week. I am not going to be available. And the proceeds of that one will be donated to, I forget his name right now. Tyler, can you help me out with his name?
Well, it was a Twitter name, so I don't exactly recall what the name was.
Okay. He's the Chargers fan. I know his Twitter handle is like Bolt Gang Baby or something like that, All Day Bolt Gang.
Yeah, it's Chargers All Day on Twitter. I don't recall his name. I apologize.
That's okay. I should have remembered that too. So anyways, the three of them are going to be doing the Q&A on Saturday. All proceeds of that one will be donated to his fight against cancer. So we've done this a few times as a fundraiser for struggling Chargers fans. So please tune in, bring your super chat questions for these guys, and I hope it goes well for them.
Absolutely. Can't wait to do it.
Alex, any thoughts?
Yeah, charitable efforts, always great. So if you want to open the pocketbook to ask us about ranking the three Spider-Men or talking about the Chargers, whatever it is, that's all great. So we'll be happy to do that to raise money for someone in need. In addition to someone who needs something, I need a win. I need a victory over Pittsburgh. Please give it to me. And just fuck Pittsburgh, man. We need this.
Yeah, we got quite the rant from Alex last week against Minnesota.
I can't do the rant this week. I probably would have prepared something, but now, you know, Minnesota made me look stupid this week. So Chargers, you got to go out and prove it. That's why I picked against you. So you got to go out and prove it this week.
There we go. Well done. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.